Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2. We're on Episode 4, talking about humanity. My name is Patrick Bicknell, and our hope with these episodes and this podcast is to equip you, the listener, to have some tools to be able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And always wanting to start the episode with that. What is the gospel? The gospel being the good news of Jesus, that he came to the world, lived perfectly, died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and now offers that salvation as a free gift of grace, that if you believe in him, you will be saved. And so we want to help you to be able to share that truth with the world. And in this season, we're looking at worldviews, the biblical worldview, the lens through which we see the world and other people. And as I said, we're going to be talking about humanity in this episode, looking at being made in the image of God, what this means, why it's important to have this truth part of our worldview. And joined with me, as always, is Josh Combs. Very excited to have him explain this topic to us a little bit.
The humanity. That's all I wanted to say as you were talking.
So if you want to jump into it for us, explain. What is the image of God, man's purpose, humanity? Give that to us.
Yeah, so the biblical worldview, how we view people. And I got out in front of my skis a little bit.
Just a tad.
On the last episode. I'm sorry. It's where the brain went. Mm-hmm. How do we view people? We fundamentally look at the Bible and we see in Genesis 1 that God created every person. So there are no accidents. We see that God makes every person. This is Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God creates every person as an image bearer, and there are male image bearers and female image bearers. No accidents, no mistakes. So, I mean, we'll just out of the gate here, we'll start to be somewhat controversial, but try to be clear. God determines a person's gender, a person's sex. So God has determined that. It's not like the doctor or someone was like, hey, this is what we call a boy. Like, no, God established male. God established female. People that are confused by that, we have compassion for. We want to have love for. And I think the gospel, I think the Christian worldview is actually helpful. Because now they're not having to determine that. God has determined that. And he's also said you are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the Bible says in Psalms.
I think it's good to start there because it's not just controversial. It's knowing that God's not the God of confusion, right? This is how he has made it. We talk about humanity. He has made it and instituted it in this way. So I think it's great that we start there for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's a big deal. I think when it comes to racism, I don't know if it's too broad of a generalization to say, but I think most of us, if not all of us, are raised with some level of prejudice against a certain people group. So I remember after 9/11, so September 11th, it seemed to be permissible amongst Christians to have some prejudice, even racism, against people of Middle Eastern descent. And here we are in Michigan, and we have pretty massive populations of folks who have come from the Middle East. And I just hate that. Just grieved me so badly. So my oldest daughter, she studied Arabic for 5 years. I think not because she really wanted to study Arabic, but because I'm like, you will know the language. You'll have an appreciation for their culture, their art, their music, you know, this kind of stuff. Because here we were Christians, and I just was so bothered by the seeming permitted prejudice against folks like that. Mm-hmm. The Bible confronts that in us. It confronts racism. It confronts anti-Semitism. It confronts that bigotry that we would have to someone because of the color of their skin or the country that they were born in. God's word does not allow for that, because we see people through a biblical lens. We see people with a Christian biblical worldview, that they're made in the image of God.
And how sad that for large parts of history, the Bible was used to justify that racism when you started in page one, right? God made man his image, and that determines value. How sad that is.
Yeah, so many conversations. What was I watching the other day? I was watching something or reading something. Oh, I was reading a book on it. And a book I don't love, but it's challenging me, refining me, to make me think about some things in a different way. But you're absolutely right, Pat. Like, Bible was used, things like the mark of Cain. So, you know, when Cain kills Abel in Genesis 4 and is put out of the garden, God marks him. And then there was the idea that that mark was, he was black, or he was some sort of color, and that was God's curse on him. You're like, that's the most preposterous interpretation of that passage ever. It's actually, the mark, I think, was God's protection of him. But anyways, we don't need to get into Genesis 4. And then post-flood, so the three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, Shem being the Semitic tribes, but then Ham being Africans. So I think it's Ham's son, right? Ham's son who gets cursed because the dad goes in. Genesis 9:22, and Ham, the father of Cain, saw the nakedness of his father, and then Noah curses Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. So then there's like this, again, terrible interpretation, but again, a curse on Ham. So there's a curse on African people. You're like, this is not, that's not in the Bible, but it was twisted and used to endorse, support wholesale slavery of African people or people of color. Like, it's just like, this is nuts. Like, that is not Christian. It's not biblical. That's not the way of Jesus. And I think reshaping that, because we've been shaped by the world, and that's Romans 12, be not conformed to this world. I think there is the discipleship when it comes to worldview, especially about people. There's some things that are being discipled into us, and there are some things that are being discipled out of us. And one of them, I think, is the way we view people. And that can extend to not just people of a different race or a different ethnicity, a different cultural background, but people that have special needs or people with some intellectual challenges, some learning disabilities, to make sure that we are always seeing that person as an image bearer. They bear the image of their creator. I think we have to see that.
So can you explain that a little bit? Because does that mean looks? What does being an image bearer actually mean for us, right? Is it an identity? Is it a purpose? Can you dive into that a little bit more for us?
Well, it's a great question. I think I'm grappling with it myself. I think that's the foundation almost of that idea is, okay, people are made in the image of God. You know, then as you so well said, okay, the next logical question, okay, great, what does that mean? And I think we can say that everyone is worthy of dignity, value, and respect. There is a agency of sorts that every person has been given. We do believe God is sovereign, but I also believe people have free will. We also see creativity, that we are created by a creator. And I love art. I'm not an art person. I always struggled in art classes and craft stuff. So I was terrible at it. I think it's my lack of fine motor skills. But I have just this appreciation for people that create art, or visual art, or whether it's music or dance or these things that you're just like, it's incredible. Or storytelling, that's a reflection to me of the image of God that they bear. Someone may not be artistic. Someone may be someone who likes to keep things in order. Mm. And I would see myself more as that. Well, we serve a God who is very orderly. Mm-hmm. It's not chaos. So I think we all, in a general sense, have the image of God that we bear. And then I think there is a unique nature to that, where we are stamped, made in the image of God. So it's a creativity, it's an agency. And then the other thing, I think we talked about this in a previous episode, but the eternality. So God is eternal. He's mm-hmm. always been outside of time. He's always existed. Well, we have not always existed, but we will always exist. Mm. So from the point of our, again, creation, inception or something, yeah, you're getting into some deep water here, but
we're going to keep this PG. So
yeah, well, no, but I'm not even saying that necessarily. I'm like, you get into some deep philosophical questions. When did we begin?
Yeah.
Like the soul, like, okay, moving on.
Yep.
So from our beginning, we now have no end. Mm. We are eternal beings like our creator. Mm. And I think that eternality that we now possess, that we now have, and I mentioned it in the last episode, different than creation, different than animals and plants and trees and the sun, the moon, the stars. Like, we are eternal. We're very mm. different. We also are conscious in a way that's different. Mm. So, I mean, even like the idea of the evolution, like, we are conscious in a way that a chimpanzee or an orangutan is not. An orangutan mates, eats, functions, made beautifully by God. Mm-hmm. Beautiful animals, man. I love zoos and mm-hmm. parks and all these things, farms and seeing animals that God has created, but we're distinct from them. We've been given dominion, is the word, but we're also the only created being that it says we are made in the image mm-hmm. of God. So we are also living in a culture, maybe to touch on this for a few moments here, that is, in my opinion, overvaluing animals. Mm. Animals are great. I love my dog. I love my cats, actually. Mm-hmm.
That's a little weird, but yeah.
Dude, sure. The nicest cat in the world outside, man. Ugh. So nice. So I love those. And, you know, we've had cows and we've had chickens and we've had turkeys and we've mm-hmm. had pigs. And, like, I animals are great. I think mm-hmm. they're fascinating, the differences. I love going to the zoo. Mm-hmm. Those aren't people. And I think we should care for the animals, right? The Bible talks mm-hmm. about wisdom in the person, the man who cares for his animal. Like, mm-hmm. we need to not be cruel to animals. But to put that on the same level as people, I think, is a mistake.
Yeah.
It's an unbiblical, it's not a biblical worldview to do that.
Yeah. And it's a very dangerous, slippery slope. You start putting people on the level of animals, you know, that could lead to different ways of distorting their value, calling humans animals, which they did for so long, and treating them as such. You
exactly.
know?
Exactly. People are not animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I think explaining the image of God as something that's not just physical, and I really appreciate that, and it's deeply personal to me, having a son who has special needs. Mm-hmm. You know, people can, and many people have this thought where he looks different, he acts different, so therefore he has less value than someone who's quote unquote normal, right? But it's important to know that it's not this physical thing that we have. It's just what the Lord has stamped on us.
Yeah, think about the folks who are disabled. I mean, you talk about your son. He's an image bearer, mm-hmm. made in the image of God, worthy of dignity, value, respect, and he is gifted by God, mm-hmm. you know, different than like spiritual gifts. I don't mm-hmm. want to go into that territory, but he's gifted by God in a way. He uniquely bears the image of mm-hmm. God. No two people are the same on the planet. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even folks that create art or do amazing things and don't know God, mm-hmm. don't know Jesus, they're still reflecting mm-hmm. the creator. Mm-hmm. And you go to we talked about museums a lot. You go to great art museums and you see this art and you're like, man, the colors and the shading. And again, not being a painter or an artist, you're like, this is unbelievable. The story, the scene that is being set in front of me, the how they're able to, everything is so still, but still there's movement and you feel an energy, like not like energy in like a weird way, but you're like, I'm drawn into a picture.
The beauty of it. Yeah.
Beauty of it. Well, that is the image of God, right? Mm. He makes things beautiful and he is creative and he is orderly and, you know, many, many more things. So for me, I think I'm just starting to grasp at answering that question. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Well, I know it means we need to value everyone, respect everyone, treat everyone with dignity. But I think, you know, the folks who may have a disability or, you know, struggle, the elderly. Okay, now we're saying that person has less value. And now we're letting the culture determine where we rank people as valuable or not.
And then we obviously in history see the dangers of where that leads to.
So terrible. And just so frustrating for people. So, so sad just to feel like the world says, yeah, you're not as valuable as someone who can walk. Or someone who has, you know, two legs. And I'm sorry, your legs didn't form right completely in the womb, or you had an accident, or you're blind, or your hands, or like, oh my gosh, like to feel again, what does the world, the secular humanistic worldview say? You're not as valuable, valuable as someone else. But the Christian can say to someone who's disabled, you value as much as you are valued by God as much as anyone else on the planet. We can say that. And that is, I have to imagine, that's incredibly encouraging, encouraging to a parent or encouraging to that person who struggles. They're stuck at home. They can't get out. They can't participate in, you know, a lot of the things that they would want to. For us as Christians to be able to look them in the eyes and say with true conviction, you're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
Like I, to me, that seems like an awesome segue to the gospel.
So we have what the image of God is, what that looks like. What's the purpose of it, right? So I think that's the natural question. And really, I think the question that our culture is asking, what is my purpose? What is, and I think that flows in identity as well. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, identity. What on earth am I here for? Right, that question. I know we, you knew this was coming. I was going to quote the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Calm down. You're so excited.
Glad we're doing catechisms now.
Something I know so little about. I know you love it. What is the chief end of man? And this is a quote, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think it's just such a beautiful summary. We see in the Bible, God creates Adam, puts him in the garden, provides all of his needs. Just think about that. Provides everything that he needs. And then God sees that something is missing. It's not good. The Bible says in Genesis 2, the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. So God makes a female image bearer who is complementary to Adam. And now he's not alone. So just prior to that, all of the animals, back to the animal thing here for a moment, all the animals, he named all of them, Adam did, but there wasn't a helper fit for him. There wasn't a partner fit for him. So, you know, dogs are great, but dogs are not man's best friend. It's, that's not, it's great to have a dog. I love my dog. That wasn't what God had designed. So God saw a need and met that need for him. So man, humanity was in harmony with each other and in perfect fellowship with God. And the bliss, the pure, unadulterated bliss that was in Eden, we can't even fathom. Like, I feel like we can maybe scratch the surface a little bit, but it, you know, it's like being a Midwesterner. There's certain things we're not going to understand about being from the South, right? Or being from the East Coast, or being from, you know, the West Coast. It's a different thing. It's just what we've grown up being. You know, we say the word ope like it's in the English
add S's,
language.
Add S's to everything.
We add S's to everything, right? It's just the water that we swim in. Mm-hmm. And I think with humanity, for us to try in our state to grasp, they're in fellowship with God. It appears in Genesis 2:2-3 that God is walking with them in the garden in the cool of the day. Mm. That's for us to even try to fathom that. And it's just difficult to comprehend. So what is the purpose? What's the identity? Well, we're made to be in fellowship with God, and we're made to be in harmony with humanity. So many people live in disharmony with their family, lack harmony, and it eats at you. Mm-hmm. It eats at your soul. Like can there be peace? Not a fake peace. Can there be real True. Peace where it's mm-hmm. just, wow, this is a real joy to be together. In humanity, we just don't have that. And then with God, so many of us are afraid of God. Again, not in the fear of the Lord sense, but just afraid to trust God. Mm. And God is longing for us to trust him. Mm-hmm. So we are made to worship. We're made, and we find these other things that we worship, that we look to give us something that God can only give us. So, you know, humans, we have to see people as God sees them. Mm-hmm. I think we have to see ourselves as God sees us. And I would say the characteristic that outside of the image of God, I think that matters most is to see ourselves as deeply loved. Mm. I think that transforms everything. Mm-hmm. Especially for a Christian, a follower of Jesus, but I think it works. I think it's in a broader sense. People need to know that they are deeply, deeply loved. Mm-hmm. That God so loved the world, the cosmos is the word world there. They are included in that. They're loved. And so many people don't feel love, mm-hmm. or they feel like they have to perform or achieve to mm-hmm. receive love, or many people feel unlovable. And for a Christian to share the gospel, I think we have to start with this idea that you're made in the image of God, because it's the pattern we see Paul take in Acts 17, where he goes to a culture that is not rooted in understanding of the Bible. He starts with creation. Mm-hmm. I think we have to start with creation, because I think when you say to someone, you're made in the image of God, you're worthy of value, dignity, and respect, it automatically, like, sets them at ease in so mm-hmm. many ways. I've watched it many, many times now. You just watch people go, oh, mm-hmm. right? I think the Christian, we usually want to start with, you're a sinner and you mm-hmm. need a savior. Well, we have to talk about sin, but I think we first have to talk about that they are made in the image of God, deeply loved by God, mm-hmm. but we have a problem.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about that. You can almost like see it on people's faces when they say that, mm-hmm. because as Christians, I think there's this perception that's been put out there. There's that hellfire and brimstone. It's like, yeah, you're a sinner. Yep. And then when you tell that person who's heard that their whole life, no, you have value, intrinsic value that cannot be taken away from you, that God loves you so much, and therefore I love you. The wall immediately can just be mm-hmm. broken, and yep. that leads to gospel conversations. But along that lines, I think we're going to have an episode dealing more deeply on sexuality and gender mm-hmm. and stuff. But when someone's struggling with their identity or purpose, whether it be gender identity or workplace, you know, family, whatever it is, what are some ways that we can navigate those conversations to point people back to being made in the image of God?
Well, I think as we talk about the gospel effort, the first thing is to be reconciled to God. Mm. So we're made to be in fellowship with God. Sin has broken that. Paul talks about we've been given the ministry, the message of reconciliation. So that's our first priority. After that is the transformation that comes about by being restored and reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. through Jesus. I think we need to listen and understand where a person's coming from, but also understand that everything is not going to get solved in that person's life. Mm-hmm. That, okay, they're all clean. They're ready to get saved now. I mean, Jesus is sitting with people. I love the woman at the well from John 4. Jesus reveals himself in a way he had not revealed himself to really anybody else there. I mean, he reveals himself as God in the flesh, the Messiah, and spends time with this lady. She comes to know Jesus. She is reconciled to the Father in that moment. Sanctification, or the transformation, or the becoming more, you know, holy, set apart, becoming more like Jesus, was going to happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we're frustrated, rightly so, by people's sin or the mess. Mm-hmm. We're not going to solve that mess in a day or in a moment. But I think it's keeping the main thing, and that's the gospel. That is the being reconciled to God. So if we're talking about gender and sexuality and some stuff later on, but we try to solve these smaller, not smaller things. I mean, we try to solve these other things, not realizing we'll let Jesus do that.
Yeah.
We're going to let Jesus handle that. First, they need to understand they need to be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been made to be. We've been made to be in fellowship with God, and we've been made to worship him. And I think the catechism says it so well, to enjoy him forever. Mm-hmm. I know you like Piper a lot, and his idea of the Christian hedonist, this pleasure that God gives us. I think, to me, I didn't grow up thinking that way. I grew up thinking Jesus saves me from hell, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to have any fun along the way. Maybe that's why I struggle with fun. I don't know. I talked to my therapist about that. But Psalm 16 was so transformative in my life, where that David says, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Mm-hmm. In your presence is the fullness of joy." Mm-hmm. That's what we're all. That's the gospel offered to people. Mm-hmm. Is in your presence, in the presence of God, is the fullness of joy. At his right hand is pleasure forevermore. Mm-hmm. That's what we're offering people. That's what they're looking for. So they've been designed by God to seek for fulfillment. There's some hardwired things in us that aren't bad, mm-hmm. but they're desires that only God can fulfill. And I think Christianity sometimes has tried to avoid some of those things rather than, like, no, you're feeling that. You're feeling the need to be loved, to be known for pleasure. Awesome. But you're looking for it in all the wrong places.
Yeah. And in our culture, it's achievements, it's feelings, mm-hmm. and those things may for a season provide it. But I think that verse was so good. Pleasures forevermore.
Forevermore.
Unending, unfading. Yep. And it's finding our identity in the Lord, that, you know, purpose in him that will
be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, on the next episode, we're going to be looking at the fall, the universal problem of sin. It was a lot of fun talking about the image of God. I know we could talk for hours on this, but we will wrap it up here, and we'll be talking about the fall in the next episode.
What do you want to say about the image of God that I didn't say? Because I feel like this is one that you're passionate about. And I know we're over time, but it'll be all right.
I don't know if you didn't say it, but I could have spent an hour on just talking about the intrinsic value that someone has. And I really hurt for people that don't feel that value, and I think probably a lot of that's with my son, and seeing families that deal with special needs, or knowing friends that deal with their gender, and just how the world has told them that they aren't valuable. And so I love the idea of, like, you simply have value because God made you.
Yeah.
You know, and so no one can take that away from you. And that goes for, we could have went into the idea of abortion and all these sort of things, but our value doesn't come from the circumstances we're brought into. Yeah. It comes from the fact that God knitted us in our mother's womb. He's one that made us.
So many people, man, they feel that based upon how they were raised, or you know, whether they were adopted, or a difficult circumstance that they were born into. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have lesser value than someone, you know, higher IQ or, you know,
less money, or less, more money, whatever
parents stayed married. I mean, they, you know, like, people feel that stuff. And I think being able to say that God's truth about them supersedes all of that.
So absolutely.
I appreciate your prompt. That's really good, Pat.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Tune in to our next episode on the fall. Thank you for listening to the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2, Christian Worldview. We're grateful for the opportunity to share real, practical truth that will help you preach the gospel in your world. If you don't yet know Christ, we invite you to listen to the gospel message we share at the beginning of each episode. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at questions@theriverchurch.cc. and we'll do our best to answer them. If you would like to get connected or hear more about the River Church, you can text the word River Church to 97,000. Thank you for listening. We hope you will tune back in soon.